This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I don't know about you when you were growing up, but when I was a kid, there were certain kind of rules, playground rules, you might call them, customs, you might say, around a few things. And one of those things was around food and dirt. God made dirt, so dirt won't hurt. Or the 5-second rule. Of course, we all had that one friend who observed the 10-second rule. Maybe you were that friend. And the image of like a sticky popsicle dripping down the back of your hand as you're trying to eat it quickly in the Florida heat before it melts completely, this brightly colored, petroleum-colored ice in the middle of a Florida summer. Of course, there were other playground chants as well. I'm rubber and you're glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you. Or sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Of course, we grow up and we realize it's really not such a good idea to eat something off the ground. That there are a lot of things in the world that are created that can be harmful, like bees and jellyfish and sharks. And as we grow older, we realize more and more that hurtful words don't always just bounce off. That they can stick. That they can stick to you and me. But there is wisdom and an understanding that develops and understands these things as we age. And today, this is what Jesus is trying to get across. Jesus is talking about a level of maturity, spiritual maturity, that some people have forgotten. And as he's speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's talking to his group of disciples as he pulls them away, and he says, listen, he runs down this whole list of defiling things that the human heart generates. He talks about deadly acts, despicable attitudes, devious ways. He says that paying lip service to God, as he quotes Isaiah, paying lip service to God does nothing to disrupt the flow of ill behavior. And Jesus knows this, and he does not mince words in spelling out how much our hearts can hurt how others see God. You see, because it's the transformation of our heart that Jesus is after. It's a transformation of our heart that God so desires. It's a transformation of our heart that results in new habits, in new ways of being that impact how we present to other people. Eating with dirty hands might offend some sensibilities, but Jesus says living with dirty hearts is the truest offense in the sight of God. Richard Rohr distinguishes this idea when we talk about as young people and as we grow into adults, mature spiritual adults is the goal. Richard Rohr distinguishes, he calls it the first half of life work and the second half of life work. And he calls this the second half of life the real work. And the reason he calls it the real work, he says, real work is always going to be focused on the inside, not the outside. Real work is not about having the right religion or following the right rules or the right traditions. It's not about having the right salary or the right job. It's not about having the right house. Real work, he says, this second half of life work, it's like washing of the dishes. Don't clean the outside of a dish. All of these external things that life brings us. Real work is when we're concerned more about what's inside. And this inside includes our attitudes, our intentions, our mind, our heart. Why are we really doing what we're doing? You see, real work is about you. Real work is about me. Real work is not about other people. So often we go around saying, it's my job. Jesus says, it's not your job to change other people. Jesus says, the only job you have is to change yourself. My job is not to change other people. I've got to change. That's the real work. But many people are obsessed with trying to change other people. We're reminded that's not our job. That's external stuff. That's stuff out there. That's the dishes and the pans piling up in the kitchen sink. Jesus is inviting us to real work. Now, I don't want you to think that this idea of entering into this calling is something that happens necessarily in years. Any adult at any time in their life can choose to start this second half of life work. You don't have to wait till you're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70. You can start right now. Because this work is inside of us. And when we move internally, all that stuff externally, all the stuff out in the world, the roles, the titles, what age we are, where we live, those become no longer the important questions. Many of us tend to grow more rigid and opinionated as we age. Now, in my defense, I will say that some of that does come with having wisdom of experiencing life. But many of us grow more rigid and opinionated as we age, but we're supposed to move away from that. Kind of the opposite. We're supposed to move away from and or thinking or this or that thinking that young people have. We're supposed to move away from this. It's either this or that. All things being equal, as we grow older, the elders, we should be more skilled at patience. We should be more skilled at forgiveness, at mercy, and compassion. We should be better at it than our teenage brothers and sisters. Because the problem is, if we remain self-assured that I know what is and what isn't, and self-righteous, I'm following the rules, and someone else is not, and self-seeking, what's in it for me, and or thinking, there can't possibly be a middle way, we cannot become bridge builders. We can't become bridge builders or agents of God's love in our own families, our own neighborhoods. But traditions can be a wonderful way of keeping us connected to our histories, reminding us of who we are and where we came from. This is why we have the Old Testament reading. Moses is reminding the Israelites, don't forget where you came from as you enter into this new land of freedom. Don't forget where you came from. These traditions will help you remember where you came from. But without meaning or relevance, and this is where the Pharisees and scribes have taken it too far, without meaning or relevance, when they become just rote practices, things we repeat simply because we're used to them, things that bring us comfort and familiarity, yes, but sometimes they can limit our understanding of the moment God has put us in. You see, traditions can be picked up and put down, but our hearts stay with us. And what our hearts produce will ultimately reflect the content of our lives and our intentions. So while we do all of our practices, and I love traditions, I'm an Episcopalian, I've got my traditional garb on here. And we do all this, but the goal is to remind us of why. But when we practice these traditions without intent, we lose sight. Jesus tells the Pharisees and the scribes, you have kept the traditions well, but you have forgotten what they are all about. You have forgotten what they are meant to do. And they're meant to point us toward God. They're meant to point us toward God in reverence and respect and discipline and awe and even wonder. They're meant to help us keep the thing the thing. And the Pharisees and scribes had lost sight of this. They were more in love with their tradition than they were in love with the people around them. They were more in love with the way they've always done it than they were with those who were given into their care. And apparently they had an affinity for doing the dishes that no one else could understand. They were more focused on the cleanliness of external things that they had forgotten about the cleanliness of their own insides. The rules, the discipline handed down from Moses were no longer understood as reminding them who God was and whose they were. But they became rules and disciplines that separated us and them. They became their own disciplines and traditions that they chose to worship. And Jesus is reminding them again. You see, in the Jewish tradition, the greatest commandment from which all of the other commandments flow is called the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This Shema, this prayer, this holistic call to love the Lord our God with all of our being, from our mind and our spirit and our bodies. And we use this as our lens by which we interpret other commandments of God. Everything gets filtered through this idea of love. If what comes in is God's love, then what goes out should be done from God's love. This is the real work. Even if hurtful and not so good things get into us, and Jesus again gives a whole list of what some of those might be, even if hurtful things get into us, there is always a possibility for God to transform that pain and that hurt into love. Transform that pain and that hurt into love so that what goes out in our words and actions do not push people away from God, but rather bring them closer to God. That we ourselves and our neighbors, we can practice this idea of redeeming love in God's glory. What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be turned back to be reminded again, to be pointed back towards God and God's goodness. Now, Andy Stanley, he's a founder and senior pastor of North Point Ministries, and it's a mega church, if y'all know what that is, like thousands and thousands of members in the Atlanta area. And earlier this week, I heard him on a podcast, and he says, look, we get to choose to follow Jesus, but we don't get to choose what that looks like. We get to choose to follow Jesus, but we don't get to choose what that looks like because Jesus is pretty clear about what it looks like to follow him. Scripture is pretty clear about what it looks like to follow Jesus. And if we forget, if we become more interested again in doing the cleaning and doing the dishes, and our hearts forget, we quit doing the real work of having our hearts be transformed, then one way to bring us back is to worship, to read scripture. And today, some of the words that we heard are very clear. What does it look like to allow God in to transform our hearts? Well, the psalmist says, he said, who can dwell in God's goodness? Those who are blameless, so be blameless. Do what is right. Speak the truth and mean it. Don't speak hateful words. Be good to your friends. Don't heap dislike or a stance of superiority over others who are not like you. Keep your promises and do them with no strings attached. And then the letter of James reminds us that God is always good, that God has no shadow side. God has no variant or shadow side. God is always good. So be quick to listen. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. Because people can't see God's goodness if we're grumpy and angry all the time. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. That we're called to act out our faith of what it's believed. This is what's called the real work because it is hard work. And we're called to do these things, friends, in our tradition and as Christians, we're called to do these things and we recognize that it is hard work and that we're going to come up short. And one of the reasons why in our Sunday service before we share in Holy Communion is we have our confession of sin. It's a communal confession of sin. Everyone together in the room confessing that, you know what, God? I'm going to try. I need you to come in and transform my heart. I came up short this week in whatever way that might look for all of you, that we're all in this together. And it's not because we have an innate evilness in us. No, it's because we're human. It's not that we have an innate evilness in us or this compelling sinful nature that pulls us out of our godliness. No, the confession is a reminder. It's simply a reminder that God calls us to be in his presence with clean hearts. With clean hearts. That God calls us to come into his presence with clean hearts and clean minds and a desire for transformation. It's a reminder to all of us that we can do better. So this, my friends, I feel like Jesus is calling. He's telling the Pharisees and the scribes, you have done great first half of life work. But it's time to look at second half of life work. And it is hard work. But this, my friends, is the real work. Amen.